If you have your Bible, open up to the book of Colossians, chapter number 3. The book of Colossians in chapter number 3, and hold your place there and flip to Ephesians chapter 5 as well. The book of Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter number 5. We're continuing on where we left off a few weeks ago in our morning exhortation for just a few moments on the family. Last time we covered the wives, and today we're moving on to cover the husbands. So I told you, men, that I would be back. Now I'm after you. Notice in Colossians 3, verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Now flip to Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians 5, he gives us a little bit more detail here. And before we start, I want to tell you that there's a prerequisite to being a husband, and that is that you have to be a man. And am I going too fast? Our Lord Jesus said, from the beginning he made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave father and mother and hold fast to his wife. The Scripture doesn't call boys to get married. It calls men to get married. Manhood is presupposed. Not all men must be husbands, but all husbands must be men. Your personal, biblically informed, mature, Christ-like manhood, this will drive and overflow your ability to be a proper husband. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find?
Right.
Where are the men? Is what Proverbs is saying. One of the main problems that has given rise to so many other problems in our world and our culture is a lack of men. We don't have any men anymore. True biblical manhood has vanished. Paul Washer, his wife, said, if a man eating lion escaped from the zoo, it would starve to death. Where's the men at? There's a lack of men in the world. The last time we talked about submission for the wives, let me remind you the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and headship given to him by God by reverencing him and helping carrying out God's call on the man according to her gifts. Now, for headship, listen to what it means to be the head as a husband. The divine calling of a husband to take primary responsibility for Christ-like servant leadership, protection, and provision in the home. Christ does not rule the church through law, but rather through love. Errol Husk said, headship is not a ticket to privilege, but a charge to responsibility. It's not tyranny, but leadership based on love. You know, let me just give you just a small reference point for the man being the head of the home before you get too excited, men. Here's what it means to be the head. The man is given the title head of the home, head of the wife. Wives are told to submit to the husbands. And now let me give you an incentive to pay close attention. This means you are responsible for your home. In Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve both sinned. But when God walked into the garden, He said, Adam, where are you? He didn't call for Eve. He called for the man of the home to answer for the state of his home. This is what it means to be the head. It means you're going to give an account for everybody under you in the home. It's a serious charge. Romans 5, verse 12 says, by one man, sin entered into the world. He's held responsible.
Right.
1 Corinthians 15 says, in Adam, all die. The man is held responsible for the state of his home. You see here in verse 22 of Ephesians 5, headship is expressed. And then in verse 25 through 33, headship is explained. But notice verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see to it that she respects her husband. We've got a list of M's for you. Number one, husbands, the mandate. The mandate in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. That's the command. That's the mandate, to love her. Now, love here is not a noun. It's a verb. I'll take you back to your English lesson a little bit. This is not something you feel. This is something that you do. You love your wife. Not take authority, not dominate, not suppress. Love. Remember, Christ rules through love. Love here is a verb. It's not a superficial feeling, but a sacrificial action. Love is not something that you feel. It's not a slave of your emotion in the moment. It is a servant of your will. It does what you tell it to do. You don't fall into love, by the way. You choose to love. Tony Bockham says you fall into ditches. You fall into love. You choose to love. You don't fall into love. Love is sacrificial. And listen, since love is sacrificial and it's a choice that you make to do, it can only be measured by the size of the cross that you're carrying for its object. If you want to know how much you love, measure the size of the sacrifice that you're laying down when your wife does not deserve it the most. And that'll tell you how much you love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Love had a sacrifice that was given. And Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates His love this way. Listen to how God displays His love. While we were sinners, Christ died. While we were enemies, Christ was given. Measure the size of the sacrifice, Christ, the darling of heaven, in light of sinners and enemies who did not deserve it. And that'll tell you how much God loves. This is our calling, men, of how to love our wives. Love is not measured by your enjoyment. It's measured by your sacrifice. Always. J.R. Miller said, a husband is to love his wife. Such love never demands obedience. It never demands anything. Because this is Christ.
Amen.
It seeks not to be served, but to serve. The measure of love required by the husband is to be well noted, quote, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her,
amen,
end quote. Five aspects of it. Here, I'll just give you some references. Verse 25, it's a sacrificial love. He gave himself up. He died for his church. It is verse 27, 26 and 27. It's a purifying love. Your love for your wife should have the effect of her looking more like Jesus because of your love. What effect are you having on your wife with your love? Is she looking more like Christ because of you? Verse 28 to 29, it's a caring kind of a love. You nourish and you cherish her. It's a gentle kind of a love. It's not a harsh kind of a love, as Colossians 3:19 says. It's nourish and it cherishes. Verse 31, it's an unbreakable love. The two shall become one flesh. Now that's the mandate. Notice the model. Verse 25 through 30. Husbands, love your wives. Now notice it. Here's your model. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her. So Christ sanctifies his bride. You're called to sanctify yours. Having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Verse 28, in the same way, husbands, you should love your wives as your own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we're members of his body. Men, you are the pastor of your home. You're the under-shepherd at your home. You are the primary instrument in the hand of God to make your wife more godly, so that because of your loving leadership, she looks more like Christ, not less like Him. You are to wash her with the Word in order to present her back to Jesus when He comes back to get her. He's coming back to get your wife, and He wants her looking more like Him because of your efforts. This is the call. This is what headship means. Changes our ball game a little bit. Galatians 4:19, Paul says, I'm at labor until Christ is formed in you. This should be your attitude to your wife.
Amen.
Be at labor until you see Christ formed in her because of your sacrifice. Colossians 1:28, Paul says, to present everyone mature in Christ. Present your wife to Jesus mature because of your sacrificial, nourishing, and cherishing kind of love. Lead through love by example. Lead through love by praying for her. Lead through love by understanding her. She's made different than you. 1 Peter 3:7, Peter says, live with her in an understanding kind of way. Biggest complaint is wives say usually is that their husband doesn't understand them. Understand her and be intimate with her. A detailed knowledge from resulting from close or long associated study. Be intimate. Know her. Lead by love through influence. Now, number 3 in verse 31, the merger. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two become one flesh. The two become one. The only indivisible number is one. You can't divide one any further. The two become one. Individual identity here is lost and is forsaken as a new united identity shines forth through the merger of a man and his woman into one flesh by way of a covenant through the union of marriage. It's one flesh. She's one with you. The merger. Number 4, notice the mission. The mission that you two have. Verse 32, this mystery of marriage, it's profound. And I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. This is our mission. It's to represent the gospel to the world through our marriage. How well are we doing? We are to represent Christ. At the vow ceremony of the wedding, this is what should have been said. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to put the gospel on display in your marriage. This is our mission. Your treatment of her represents to the world the gospel of Jesus Christ. How much do you value the gospel? How much you do should be reflected in how you treat and lead this woman. You say you value the gospel, prove it through how you treat your wife. And now number 5, the method in verse 33. The method. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Notice here, the husband is commanded to love her, and she's commanded to respect him. Wives need love. Men, ladies, need respect. It's one of the biggest things that men need. That's why it's listed here. And notice, through the wife respecting the husband, something she doesn't particularly need, and the husband loving the wife, something that he particularly doesn't need, notice that you have to learn each other in order to do this, because normally it's easy to treat the other person how you want to be treated, but she's not a man. She's a woman. You need to learn to love her as she's learning to respect you. It's a different kind of a thing. Both learn to give something that they themselves are not as much in need of, and this forces both of you out of your individual needs, drives you to become more like Jesus because of this oneness of union. You have to figure each other out and give something to each other that both of you need. God gives you normally an incompatible mate, someone who's not like you, because He wants to teach you to learn someone, to love someone unconditionally when they don't meet the conditions. That's what He wants you to learn. That's what I'm trying to learn. Someone who doesn't meet your conditions, learn to love them, because if you do, you're becoming more like Jesus Christ. Amen. Now you say, how in the world do I do this? How can I do this if I'm a man? I've got 4 things for you. Number 1, be dominated by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Know your Bible. You have to hide God's Word in your heart so that you won't sin and so that you'll obey. Be dominated by the Bible. Number 2, be immersed in the local church. As Charlie says, show up. Be at everything that's going on in the church. This contributes to your character development so that you'll be able to do this better. Yeah. Show up. Number 3, if you're not this kind of man that's being described, then surround yourself by those that are. Yes. Find these men and hook up to them and learn how to do it from their example. The wise who walk with the wise becomes more wise. Companion of fools suffers harm. Find somebody who's doing this and hook up to them. Number four, these are Christ-like qualities. So you know what? Just walk with Christ.
Amen.
And you'll learn to be like Him. Walk with Christ. Take His yoke upon yourself and learn of Him. And love your wives as He did the church. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, thank You for this word this morning. Thank You, Lord, for this great exhortation from Your word on husbands, Lord, and on husbands and wives loving and respecting each other. Lord, thank You for this great picture of the gospel that You've given us, Lord. This sacrificial love, Lord. I'm thinking of the gospel of what Christ has done for His own. He laid His life down. The darling of heaven was sacrificed for the lives of sinners, enemies, who didn't meet any conditions. It was unconditional to those whom You have chosen to love, and You've given Christ for us, Lord. Thank You for this sacrifice. Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know the sacrifice given, that they would look to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And that they would see the great love that You have for sinners, and that they would be moved, Lord, by Your love to trust You and commit their life to You, be reborn and be saved today. Lord, through a marriage exhortation, hopefully maybe somebody could be saved by seeing Christ. Lord, help us to demonstrate Christ in our marriages. Help us as men to love and to lead our wives and our family. We need Your grace, Lord, to do this. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.